my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it's my pick, and I thought I had a couple of movies up my sleeve. I did change it literally last minute as we were recording last week, but I've had this one on my radar for ages. I've only ever seen it once, and it was one of them classic Chris Phelps 1991 era movie. Pure action. I remember watching the trailer on the VHS covers and used to think, oh, I have got to see this movie. But it was never it was never one of the movies that was readily available. I think I watched it maybe mid-90s because my local video shop, Sound and Vision, was my sister's best friend's uncle run it. But he would get the main stuff in and he'd have a few obscure movies, but he wouldn't have like an array. I mean, it's still there on the corner of the video shop, but it's a bloody takeaway. It's not a big shop, and that's the one we used to go in all the time. So when I think Global opened in Cholton, and then it was Blockbuster, and then I had Titles, the one where I've told you all before, where my granddad got a video for a year, you know, every night. I think that's when I watched it, because that was the size of like a Blockbuster Titles was, and in Old Trafford. And I wanted it for ages, and every time I've got to watch that movie. And then when I watched it, I really enjoyed it because it's just my sort of movie. It's fucking nonsense. It's you know, it's proper testosterone led. So yeah, so I really, really picked this one. So we're going to do 1991 Stone Cold Dave. It's starring Brian Bosworth. I maybe should have said that before, went on a fucking tangent about my life story and that everyone, but there you go. That's what we're doing. Anyway, Dave, do you remember seeing this one at all?
Never heard of this one at all. And it's a bit bizarre because, well, actually, if you look at the figures, it cost something like $25 million to make and made $9 million at the box office. And so I guess over here, it would be if you just by chance stumbled across it in the video shop. And I never did. But, you know, when we watched the trailer last week, I'm thinking, how the fuck have I never seen this? I mean, it does look like that, you know, cheeseburger sort of film, doesn't
yeah.
it? You know, just a bit of nonsense, low on nutrition, but, you know, it fills a spot, doesn't it, in terms of those B-movie action flicks. And so, yeah, never seen it at all. Never heard of Brian Bosworth, but been on a bit of a rabbit hole after watching this movie. And yeah, it's an interesting one you picked here, Chris.
Yeah, it is, to be fair, because it's one of them. Like you say, this is the problem, maybe why it wasn't readily available in the UK, because it wasn't a box office success, was it? You know, if a video shop's making its money off rentals, you're not going to pick a movie called Stone Cold that made absolutely zero money and was not even at the box office in the UK. It would have been, for us, it would have been a year later in 92, a straight to video job. And there was better films out, wasn't there? You had like Last Boy Scouts, one of my favourite Bruce Willis films. I love that movie, you know, and things like that around this time.
Terminator 2,
which does have a bit of trivia, Dave, because I need your gloves, your boots and your motorcycle. That guy, he's in this because he's the guy who gets the can shot above his head. That, he got the same clothes on. It's the same guy who just filmed Terminator 2. But anyway, Dave, I just wanted to say, actually, before we get into the trailer, everyone, and in the words of Holly Willoughby, how have you been, Dave, the last 24 hours anyway? Have you been okay?
Oh, fuck you.
No. So I just wanted to see if you're okay. Have you had any news? Come on. I've been dying to speak on the podcast about this. Come on, Dave.
Certainly feel worse than I did when Philip Schofield left and, you know, all that nonsense happened. So yeah, it's been a time. It's been, as we record, not even 24 hours. So it's still a bit raw, Chris. It's been a bit of an emotional time. So obviously this is going to come out in a couple of weeks and it'll be old news. But yeah, my my beloved football manager, Jurgen Klopp, has decided to call it a day. And so, very, very sad time. And, you know, I had to think back, right? So, sorry, football tangent, right? Fast forward a couple of minutes or whatever. If you're not interested, but when he took over, we were shocking. You know, we weren't sort of battling relegation or anything, but we were nowhere near the top. And, you know, there was no belief there. And Roy Hodgson took over from Brendan Rodgers after we got beat. I think the last Brendan Rodgers result, we got beat 6-1 by Stoke. Convincingly as well. It wasn't a freak result. Hodgson took over and we had players like Paul Konchesky, Poulsen as well. It's some of the worst footballers that I've ever seen play for us. So you're just thinking, well, there's no way we're going to be able to ever challenge again because, you know, the glory days are way behind the amount of money that's involved now. We'll just never be competitive again. And that's the thing. That's the thing that he brought back to us, just to be competitive. And, it's been an amazing time. So, yeah, very sad, Chris, very sad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously sad for you, Dave. I was absolutely reveling. I was in the gymnasium. The news broke. I brought the news to you. I thought you and our good friend Ben, in a little WhatsApp group, being two Liverpool fans who have reveled in the demise of Manchester United. And, you know, the Chat 40 podcast is one of our graveyard shift podcasts, but I was dying to go back on yesterday. And I did throw a few hooks out there. Our great friend and patron, John Hammond, he took it all on the chin. He was laughing with me and that. I'm sure he wanted to virtually punch me. But we are going to set up a hotline, guys. And I am at the end of the line. If you guys want to call and have a chat, if you're feeling, you know, good old Jürgen's gone on his Peloton bike and he's left, the number's 0800 1010 101010. And if you can't remember that number, it's 0800 LOL, LOL, LO fucking L. Chris Phelps will be there to give you all advice, a shoulder to cry on. I am available 24/7, guys. So please contact me at any point regarding this and I will give you an absolute great chat about it. I mean, it was the best abs workout ever, Dave, when this woman was crying on the radio about it. It was fantastic. So, fucking brilliant. I have been waiting to do this for 24 hours. I've had it lined up. People are going to be going, Chris, you're a dick. You know what? I am as well, Dave. But anyway, let's get back into the fucking podcast. So, Dave.
just a second, because I don't really remember, but we did change the Chat Footy RSS feed, didn't we? And all of those old episodes had gone. But so consigned to, you know, digital heaven, I guess. But there was one that I remember. Do you remember putting the sad music on and everything? Because I think it was around the time Mourinho was manager or something. And I created a whole mock Man United helpline, 0800 1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Touche. Yes. Look, if we're good friends, you know that, and I love it. But if we don't give each other shit about football, Dave, then are we really friends? That's what it's all about. I love it. And the main thing is, though, and I'll be honest, completely honest, and again, another football tangent, he's an amazing manager who has brought yous up into his style of play. And God only knows where the league's going to go now with him gone, because your Man United are getting fucking nowhere near City. But let's just hope that things happen and transpire. And we don't have to worry about that. But yes, Dave, it's a massive loss for the English game, irrespective of the fact that he's a Liverpool boss. He's a great person and a great manager. So I'll give him that.
Indeed he is. But Chris, with that, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
The Brotherhood. They're an underworld on wheels. They answer to no law. They live by one rule.
God forgives, the Brotherhood doesn't.
There's only one man tough enough and crazy enough to take them on.
You just picked up the wrong passenger, buddy!
He's an undercover cop doing a good job with a bad attitude.
That's why you love.
if you're on the wrong side of the law. He'll leave you stone cold. Brian Bosworth. He's the outsider on the inside. He's turning up the heat. He'll burn you. Stone cold.
Joe Huff is a tough Alabama cop who is frustrated with a system that handles criminals with kid gloves. Currently, Joe is suspended for displaying excessive violence towards criminals. After stopping a supermarket robbery, Joe is summoned by FBI agent Lance Dockery, who takes him to a vacant parking garage to meet Special Agent Charge Frank Cunningham. Cunningham proceeds to blackmail Joe into going undercover by threatening to turn Joe's 3-week suspension into 6 months without pay. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, as you explained that, Dave, the fucking story is very fucking thin. Let's be honest here. I mean, Joe walks in.
Story?
Well, yeah. We get the classic action movie. Let's make the hero look absolutely like he's the Terminator. You know, Cobra does it. You even get it. And yeah. There's a lot of Michael J. White movie pops up every now and again on TikTok where he goes in and he just carries on having a drink, a coffee or something. It's like the people there. But the premise is these three guys go into this fucking 7-Eleven. What are they going to get, Dave? They're going to get about $500 and some fucking whiskey and cigarettes, right? But they go in with submachine guns, don't they, to hold them hostage. You know, it's like nobody would go in there and risk being sent down for life for what is essentially a fucking, you know, a night out's worth of money or anything. But these guys, one of them's got a fucking Uzi. And then Joe just comes in, don't he? Dead cool. He's got the Terminator walk, the boots on, and he's just there getting a cookie in that, isn't he? And these women are being held hostage. The plan of these baddies is shocking because there is no plan, Dave. Pretty much like the movie. There's no real plan what's going on. But you go with it, and Joe then he's obviously takes all three of them out, and he's fucking nails, isn't he, Dave? He's absolutely on a different level. He's got the big fucking, it's like a Van Helsing fucking coat, and only the big like overcoat thing he's got on and everything. It's bizarre, but it is classic action movie fodder. And I tell you what, Dave, I am all in with this character. Joe Huff is a one fucking badass guy.
I mean, it's your classic, almost your Reagan style anti-hero, isn't he? You know, he's basically a cop who takes the law into his own hands. That's why he's suspended in the first place. But the way he looks, like say, he does look like he's from the future or something, doesn't he? With those massive shoulder pads, you know, and the triangular shoulder pads at that. What I was trying to figure out, and I've only watched it the once, but I'll have to go back and watch it again, is they seem to be firing off, you know, these Uzis and whatever. But, you know, he's quite happily going on doing his shopping. I don't know if you've ever been in a Tesco's or anything and then someone's shouting at a cashier or being a bellend, like, you know, making a bit of a scene or whatever. But yes, you can hear from the other side. So I'm pretty sure you can hear all this shit going on. But he's just happily going away, doing his shopping there. And you can just see it all being set up, can't you? And I think throughout this movie, that's what you've got. You've got this kind of really stretching the believability of it, that this thing will happen. But it's just to have this set piece. I mean, this is just to put Joe in a situation where he has to save the day. I mean, it's almost Cobra, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, without the Christmas trees. And what I found the funniest thing in this opening bit, it's like almost the A-team level stunts, you know, because the guy is in the middle of the aisle and then Joe, you know, sets a trap, you know, Tom and Jerry style almost, you know, he makes everything really slippy on the floor. So the guy, he's running down the aisle, slips on the, I don't know what it is, jam, whatever it is, and then somehow flips over midair because his back goes into all this whatever it is, this display that's there. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? But just the way it was shot and everything just really reminded me of A-Team. But It did seem like this movie is almost created, it's written by stunt guys, because there are so many stunts in this. And I've got to say, Chris, you know, we've reviewed some shockers, especially in the, you know, B-movie action genre. But you can tell there's money spent on this. I think it looks really good. I think, and some of the stunts are top notch. So, yeah, this is, I could tell you'd like this one. And I'm not saying I didn't like it as well, but, you know, utter nonsense. I mean, the you know, it's the same one again, isn't it? Written in crayon. you know, some of the leaps, you know, which I'm sure we'll get into, but are just utter nonsense. But yeah, I mean, it starts off really well. And there's nothing original about this at all, is there? It's just, you know, it's using the template. This could be Last Action Hero almost.
You're totally right. I mean, Frank Cunningham, the FBI guy, is George Washington Duke off Rocky V. He's come straight from Rocky V to make this, Dave, but he's not the Don King fucking promoter. He's the guy who blackmails him. Again, they have to make the badass main character. He has to be suspended, don't he, Dave? Like Cobra, like, you know, like in these movies where they're always on the line, aren't they? You know, they've been suspended, or they're roughhousing the fucking people and interrogating them, or they're almost criminal-like, aren't they, for killing and everything. And that's the whole premise. But when that fucking Lance goes to his flat and we see fucking, you know, Joe Huff at this point, he's not John Stone because he's not undercover exactly, and he goes to his apartment and he's making this fucking concoction. I'm thinking, well, he's a big guy, in real life he's an ex-American footballer, he's a massive like celebrity, he was around this time in America, and he starts making all this shit for a lizard, and I'm thinking, I'm no fucking, you know, I'm no lizard expert, but I'm thinking there's no fucking way that lizard is eating a Snickers, uncrushed eggs. Yeah. Some, anyway, lo and behold, even the trivia, it's like there's no physical way that a lizard would have ate that. But he picks this lizard up, and all I kept thinking when he puts it to his face was, that lizard's going to bite his fucking nose off here.
I fucking thought the same thing. I'm like, are you serious?
It was weird, wasn't it? And the lizard, and I'm trying to look at his mouth, thinking if they taped its mouth together or something, you know, one of them, because you know, I'm not into them sort of animals and that, but it just looked very bizarre. And when he picked it up, then it was a big old thing and he puts it down. And then when he comes to the door and he comes and he's chatting to him and everything. And then, sorry, that's when he first goes to me. But then the next day is when he comes at 6 o'clock and Joe answers, we literally fuck all on. And then there's an absolutely stunning girl, Dave. I mean, you literally see what she had for a fucking breakfast. Yeah. She's got nothing on. And he's there getting a bit of a lob on Lance. And he's like, oh, I've never. He goes, have you not seen one like that before? And he goes, not so well put together. And I'm like, oh, my God. Is he going to say, just have 5 minutes with her if you want? But it's all classic, isn't it? Joe's getting all these stunning women. He's a cop on the edge. He's not really a cop. And then it pans to him driving down to, you know, they tell him about like the brotherhood sort of thing. And he goes then down to this biker gang, doesn't he? And straight away, I didn't know this, but apparently that's actually Brian Bosworth's bike, by the way. He made that bike and built it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He built it. He wanted to use it in the movie and drove bikes because he'd be comfortable then for them scenes. So it's actually his bike. And that's why a lot of the scenes he's doing the stunt stuff, because he was comfortable on the bike. But yeah, the way he just goes to the bar with Lance, and Lance looks like a complete dickhead, doesn't he? He looks like he thinks he's going to a fancy dressed as a biker thing. And it's that classic, he stands out, doesn't he? But straight away, already, Joe knows who the right-hand man of this James Cooper is, doesn't he? This ice fucking guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need to go make a few moves and all this. And then you've got Lance going, oh, this glass is a bit fucking dirty. And I'm like, come on, we've seen this in like every action movie, haven't we, where it's a one-man army. These are all the tropes there. I'm not saying I didn't love it, because I fucking did, but the way Joe just comes from nowhere, ice is more than fucking within his rights to go, this guy's a cop. You know what I mean? He just comes from nowhere, yeah, doesn't he? And just like, there's no backstory how Joe has got to know who Ice is, where he's come from. He's literally just turned up. There's no internet at this point. He's literally just, he just knows. And I did see, you've probably seen it yourself, but the whole movie was rewrote, wasn't it? Because they wanted it was a purely violent movie, And they had to, and it is violent, but they've had to tone it down. But the movie, the director fucked off. Michael Douglas came on as an uncredited producer, everything. It's just, it was a bit of a mess. A bit of a mess, really. And you can see that in the leaps, like you said. The leaps are just ridiculous. However, Dave, the action, like you say, is fucking brilliant. The bar brawl is excellent. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd put the leaps down to kind of behind the scenes stuff. I just think that it's what you kind of get. I mean, we did it last week, didn't we, with what was it, Death Ring? Different budget of movie.
Yeah.
But you know, the leaps to get where you need to be are just ridiculous. And the fact that, like you say, he turns up and you're thinking, surely everyone here must know you're a cop. I mean, first of all, he's undercover in his own state. I can't think that's a great idea. He's built like a brick shithouse, so he stands out massively. It's like, how has not everyone heard of this guy? You know, just even if you don't know his name or whatever, he's got this distinctive, you know, bleach blonde mullet. You know, and like I say, very much built like an American football player. So, and I'll come back to that. And he goes up, you know, you've got Chains Cooper, you know, played by Lance Hendrickson. And I'm just thinking, I am not buying you as some kind of badass. And honestly, the way he's going over the top, it sort of reminded me of Tommy Lee Cooper in Under Siege.
Yeah.
You know, he's going full on like baddie, isn't he? Sort of manic baddie. And you'd think someone to get the top of that kind of criminal organization must have a little bit about them. But, you know, you get this big fucking nails guy turning up out of the blue, out of nowhere, with no real believable backstory. It's just like, yeah, come on, let's you know, be part of the gang. We'll give you a little test and stuff. But that's it. You're in my inner circle. It's just utter nonsense. But yeah, there's something. Chris, this is, I don't think this is ever discussed anywhere, really. But it's actually a little bit of a gem, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, though, because I fucking went with this. I loved it. You know what? From doing the podcast, knowing we're going to talk about and take the mic, it's nonsense. You're right. Because even in these movies, we're talking about, like, Joe Huff's character struck John. It's with John Stone at this point. I'll keep calling him John Stone at this point. But it's that thing of the main guy sort of likes him, but his right-hand man or woman is like, no, there's something wrong here. There's something off, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they don't see it. And it always happens where the right-hand man or woman has to fight the main goodie in the movie. And you're right, because when he turns up at like the biker thing and he's in his van and then he goes in that pit, don't he, with that big fucking bloke. I mean, Brian Bosworth's about 6'2", 6'3". That bloke looks like a wrestler, doesn't he? He's about 6'6". He's massive. Yeah. He's levering everyone. And John's already done a B.A. Baracus throw in the bar. He did a full-on, I'm throwing you 20 foot in the air. It looked like the A-Team. I agree with you. It's like the A-Team, but it's an R-rated movie because the stunts are straight off the A-Team, even the things. But what got me, Dave, what fucking brilliant, and this is classic movie, is that William Forsythe's playing Ice, isn't he, whatever he's called, and they're doing this fucking standoff with the guns. So he's got a can on his shoulder. So Mr. Terminator 2, you know, a closed boots bicycle, who looks like he's literally walked off the set in the same clothes he had on in Terminator 2. So about being typecast, he shoots Ice and the can, it's one bullet done. Ice pulls out a semi-automatic, like fucking Uzi, scatter guns a load of bullets, shoots him with the first one, he would have been dead, Dave. And then he falls to the floor and then the car fucking is getting decimated behind him. But the way he sprays them guns, that guy's dead, Dave. He's taking one in the head there and everything. And again, it's that classic, like, oh, you're trying to make Ice look like he's fucking, you know, he's an absolute psycho. But it just, and then he's laughing on the floor. And then they get the fight then where John goes over and he starts, that guy's just, he does the old BA punch and the guy just looks at him and goes, is that it? And then he does the rugby, he does the American football tackle, which I think he was renowned for, Dave, you know, for absolutely sandbagging people. So the fight is just nonsense in it again. I mean, they're being thrown all over the place. It's almost like when Hulk Hogan used to get like one of the wrestlers as big as him would get him in that move and he'd like sort of, he'd straddle him in the air as they were choking him out. And then he'd do the old, you know, like he'd do the 1, 2, 3. And on the third yeah. one, the old big finger come out, running Hogan and fucking get his invincible fortitude and all that stuff. And just out of interest, Dave, just before we carry on, you know that Netflix have now got the WWE. Please don't read about the WWE. Dave, you want to read about what's happened this week with Vince McMahon? Holy fucking shit. He's just resigned. But anyway, oh my God, it's awful. Oh, I'll let you go down
considering
that
all the fucked up shit he's, considering all the fucked up shit he's done over the past, that must be quite bad.
Oh, no, he's had to resign in the last few hours as we're recording. Oh my God, just read it. Obviously, innocent to proven guilty, but fuck a doodle do. But anyway, Netflix are getting the WWE, Dave, and that also means WWE Network is finished. So the app where we used to get everything, WWE have been posting all week because the Royal Rumble's on tomorrow. All the old Royal Rumbles, Dave, readily available on YouTube, but all the back catalogue of events are going on Netflix, Dave, as part of your subscription. I feel a wrestling gold fucking comeback.
We might have to do it, might we?
To get the band back together, Max, if you're listening, my friend. Yeah. I think the band could be getting back together, Dave. But anyway.
That was good fun, that.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Just watching it. Just a bit of a watch-along format. So, no, very, very good. I like that. But it's funny you mention about the wrestling, Chris, because, you know, as with all of our episodes, we never script anything. And so we never quite know where the conversation's going to go. But honestly, so I was intrigued by this main actor, Brian Bosworth, because I thought, you know what, he's not a bad sort of leading man. I think his acting is okay, you know, and he just fits. He's certainly got the look, hasn't he? That chiseled jaw, the distinctive mullet.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'd have to sort that out if, you know, post 91, but, well, maybe not. But I was thinking, how have I not heard of this bloke before? How is he not bigger? Well, he was big, Chris, but in the US, and he was a massive kind of college football player. So there's a documentary called 30 for 30. It's on Disney Plus in the UK, probably available maybe on Hulu or something, or Disney across in the US. And it just follows him. And basically, he played for Oklahoma in the kind of mid-80s, I think. And, you know, college football, it's not like it's a completely different system to here. You know, it's like I guess you'd say it's like the championship or something, but they don't have promotion and relegation. But college football is massive and there's loads of money in it. It's all televised and everything. So they are kind of celebrities, even though you think, well, sort of going to university. It's not. It's different. But he created this persona for himself. So, you know, he's this very good footballer for a start, but he almost created this persona called the Boz. And it struck me as like he was basically playing a heel, because to be an elite athlete, you've got to be pretty dedicated. And from what I could tell, you know, he is, you know, to get to that level, he did kind of have to really train hard. And fundamentally, you know, he's just a very good college footballer. But creating this heel persona, like he used to rile up rival fans and stuff. And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Miami or someone. But basically, they had T-shirts that were something about, you know, something disparaging about the Boz, who is this kind of heel type character. Who sold them, Chris? He did. He literally sold these T-shirts, which were slating him, and made a packet of money off him. And so he was before his time, you know, in creating these kind of sports personalities. But it sort of went a bit south for him because, you know, he's starting to believe his own hype, I think. And that, you know, but it's a lot of interviews with him as well, you know, reflecting on that in the past. But I think you'd really like it. But for me, I don't think anyone in the documentary sort of mentioned wrestling, but he did come across like he'd created this heel character.
That's interesting, that though, Dave. And that's one way to stand out as well. I'll have to watch it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why he's in this movie, really.
Perfect that. Yeah, I had read a little bit about his injuries and stuff, about him winning money from Lloyd's in London and that. Because a lot of the wrestlers did the same thing. They got these big deals and then retired, so they got the payouts. And then some of them came back and had like big laws. I've just read a little bit then. But no, I'll watch that, definitely. And I think, Dave, he's got one there called One Tough Bastard, Dave. We're going to have to cover that movie, which is that's the tagline, that's the movie, One Tough Bastard or One Man's Justice. Oh no, we're gonna have to watch that, Dave, definitely at some point. But no, it's weird, isn't it, because his character is like, he is just literally indestructible, isn't he? Like the throughout the movie, it's so true that he's had a lot of say in his character. He's literally like the Terminator in some respect. Yeah, he gets a bit of a kick in with this big guy, but overcomes him. And that's what sort of Chains takes him in. And then Chains gives his old lady to him, doesn't he? And then in the back of his van looking for everything. But then Chains is acting all like he's just some dopey biker gang leader, and then in the next minute he's ringing up his one of the girls like, yeah, can you give a full of run check on this John Stone guy and everything. So he's got the connections, but then you've got this like mafia face off, aren't you, where they are in the city where they're based. You know, we see the Hell's Angel, they've got like this, the kids are running around, aren't they? They've got like a little town, aren't they, which is all centred, these guns everywhere, but these families within this thing, it is like a community that's been created. And when they go into the city and he's got like Chains' girl with him and the mafia are there and he has this...
Nancy?
Yeah, that's her, Dave. Is that out of... what did we say? Nancy? Oh, Nancy. Yeah. I'm thinking fucking Nightmare on Elm Street. That's, sorry, that's the character. I'm thinking Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, Nancy. Yeah, sorry. I thought that's what you meant. Sorry. But
do you like a boyfriend, Nancy? Not that Nancy.
Not that Nancy, no. But when he goes in and they're like collecting money and then the fucking mafia come and grab her, don't they? And he fucking jumps on the bonnet, Dave. And he does sort of back down when they pull a gun on him. But you've got this weird mafia little thing where they're at odds with the biker gang. And it doesn't really play out properly, does it? That like three-way thing where, you know, the boss or Johnny's trying to infiltrate and get in there and prove himself to them. It doesn't really pay off, but I do agree with what you said. Lance Henriksen, Dave, also got the Ned Flanders fucking sleeper body, because let's be honest, when he's got his top off later on, he looks in fucking really good shape. He's not massive, but he has definitely been, he was supposed to be the Terminator, wasn't he? And if you think back to actually in the Terminator when he plays the cop, he's about fucking 6 stone piss wet through, but in this he looks like he's been saying a few prayers and taking some of them vitamins. That
plays the cop in what?
Terminator. He was supposed to be the original Terminator and he plays the cop in the original Terminator.
I didn't know he was in the original Terminator. I always think of him as Bishop, to be honest, in Aliens. I just can't ever get away from that. But yeah, he did. You could tell. I mean, he'd obviously been to the gym and stuff, but not bulked up. You know, he put on a little bit of muscle and then just, he was well defined, wasn't he? But yeah, I must admit, he did. Again, I'm not buying him as this massive badass, but you know, he did obviously get into shape in for this movie.
Yeah, he did. But I agree with you, he's not a big guy, is he? So the boss is obviously just north of 6 foot, isn't he? 6 foot 2 or whatever. And he's obviously about 5'8", but he's got the henchmen around him. But he's the maniacal, like, baddie, isn't he? You know, like that sort of unhinged. Yeah. He's clever, but he's unhinged. And I think that's... I think the problem is his main henchman, Ice, him and, like, John go on this like thing, don't they? He realizes there's something up, he finds out who he is, and they go on this like bike chase. But he's sort of killed off about halfway through the movie. You sort of need him to back up Chains, really, don't you, later on? That's how I felt. And obviously, I realize this, William Forsythe is actually filming two movies at the same time, Dave. That's why he had to kill him off, because he was literally going from one set to another as they were filming these movies. But yeah, right. I think it was a bit of a waste for him, because I think it would have made more sense for the main fight to be like a three-way fight between them, because obviously John or Joe, whatever, he's so indestructible pretty much, isn't he? Like, he's impenetrable to pain sort of thing. It would have made more sense. But I think the movie works, and you've got like, even Fast and Furious had that play when Brian goes undercover and they're like threatening him, but he starts becoming like liking that life sort of thing. Joe's like rise to the top of this gang has just come from nowhere, hasn't it? I mean, he gets an ear with the tattooing, ships the guy off from fucking Death Warren, who's been doing Death Warren at the same time. He's the one who Van Damme fights with the brush and does the spinning fucking roundhouse kick at the when they're having the meal and everything. He's the guy, isn't he? And he chips him off. And that was quite a funny little thing.
Oh, Chris. You know what that means? So Paolo Toccia.
What a name.
I forgot about the not Todger.
Yeah.
I remembered where I recognized him from was Bloodsport. He's the guy who's kind of like a bit of a kickboxer.
Yeah.
So I'd recognized him from there, and I was thinking, oh, we've done two movies with this guy. But no, Chris, it's the match ball. It's his hat trick, isn't it?
We
did Death Warrant as well. So, good spot there.
Well, actually, Dave, you say that. Richard Gant, who played George Washington Duke in Rocky V, he's been in three movies that we've done as well, Dave, because I was just looking at it. So he gets the match ball. So we've done Rocky V, obviously. We've done Stone Cold. And I'm just going to pick the other one, Dave, because I was looking before and went, oh, he's actually got his match ball. And he also was in, Dave.
The Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski, that's it, yeah. So he's in that. So that's three. He gets his match ball today as well.
Oh, word.
Yeah, we're going to hold a lot of footballs to these people, Dave. You, what a great spot. What a great name as well, that guy. But I think as well, like the movie as itself, the explosions just get more crazy, don't they? The story falls completely off a fucking cliff and it just becomes sillier and sillier. But I'm loving it, Dave, because it is like a proper R-rated A-team thing. And also, when they get to like this fucking bank scene, it's the court scene, isn't it? Because so the whole premise of the movie is this random guy who obviously was like the leader of the gang just shoots a priest at the start, doesn't it? He's going to go down and they're trying to get back at like the district attorney and everything. And they're in court and he basically gets sent down. And then Chain is there. He's cut his hair, Dave. It's obviously his real haircut. He's not got this stupid wig on, has he? And he's dressed as like a priest. And they've infiltrated the fucking courthouse without checking if they got any guns. I mean, come on. Fucking hell.
He's a priest. He can't possibly be up to anything nefarious.
Yeah, they didn't frisk him or anything, did they? They didn't say to him, can you recite the Hail Mary just to prove you're a priest? They just let him in with an Uzi. And that Uzi's got unlimited bullets as well, Dave, hasn't it? It's fucking brilliant.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. But I was just thinking that, you know, even before that, because... You know, you've ended up with Stone Cold there, you know, the boss. How is he not dead?
I know,
when they found out he's a cop, it's like, do they really have to keep him alive? Just kill him right there. And, you know, I have to question how much influence the boss had, because so many people died. I mean, I mentioned about Nancy, the kind of throwaway girlfriend. Well, not even girlfriend, really, but Chains, you know, it's kind of his woman, I guess you'd say. And you're kind of feeling like, all right, is she going to be the love interest for Joe? Well, no, she just gets shot in the head.
Yeah, no, what bizarre thing.
Do anything. Yeah. And like, I think the district attorney gets killed and all these people get killed. I'm like, yeah, you're kind of a sledgehammer, really, Joe, but, you know, you haven't had that much of an impact. But, yeah, it's just so utterly ridiculous. But yeah, it was almost, I don't know, James Bond level or Austin Powers or something, where I'm just thinking, why don't you just kill him? Like, literally, you just kill him. But also I was thinking, how much would it take for a biker to, you know, cut all their hair off to give them a crisp, short back and sides? You know, it seemed like, I know they wanted to get at the district attorney and stuff and, you know, free their mate and whatever. But I'm thinking, really, you've gone for the whole priest look and you've committed, you've chopped all your hair off that you've been growing for years, probably. It just, that struck me as well as just being a thing that he wouldn't do.
No, I agree. And I think as well, like, you know, you were saying like the movie, I got vibes, and you're going to laugh because this came out the same year and you're going to go, oh, fuck off, Chris. You're just trying to shoehorn it in. I got vibes at the start of No Shit, No Surrender 3, Dave. That the building, the way it was shot, you know, like the way the cameras were and everything, it felt like that. I can't explain it, but it genuinely did feel like it went low budget at the end. The whole scene in the court, and then Joe, that guy on the bike, when the fucking bikes infiltrate the courthouse, Dave, the truck backs up and all, why would you go on a fucking motorbike? Where are you going to go? How are you going to get down the stairs without the police shooting you? But no, we get like this sort of, it's almost like Batman level of comedy, in it, where the bikers have, like a computer game, there's no logic, and then, you know, Chains is on the back of a bike and he gets off it, but the bike goes at fucking Joe, doesn't he? Like fucking, and he just shoots him with, it's fucking nonsense.
down this long kind of corridor bit where he's on his bike heading straight for someone with a gun.
Yeah. It's just like, what was your plan? And even when he's fighting Chains, and Chains just gets absolutely fucking nailed, doesn't he? You know, he just throws him around, doesn't he, and everything. He pretend blank shoots him and there's no bullets, and Chains falls down the stairs. But then we get, Dave, the lethal weapon, the whatever, you know, the double fake where he's being arrested and he pulls the gun, and you know, and it's like, but then Lance steps up, Dave, the dweeb, the fucking nomad, fucking germaphobe, he steps up and just pulls the fucking shot from nowhere, doesn't he, and takes Chains out. I mean, how cliche or classic action movie can you get? And I'll tell you what, Dave, I fucking loved it, but it's so cliche, it's unbelievable. There was no point in even writing this movie. If someone said they wrote this movie, it's like, fuck off, you have just nicked this from every other action movie around this time.
Oh, I mean, today, Chris, you just feed it all into ChatGPT, couldn't you? You'd say, write me a script that's a combination of Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, bit of Terminator in there, and just farm all of the action B movies, put all the cliches in there, don't worry about it, it's fine. I mean, it's Die Hard for me that it seems more like, where you get the copper who John McClane's been speaking to, all the way through, and he's not shot a gun. Well, you know, here you've got Lance, and he's just this hypochondriac, basically, you know, but he's the one who saves the day at the end, because, you know, everyone's just like casually walking around with their gun in their holster, so he can get it out. But Chris, I mean, right at the end of the movie, I mean, you've had these bikers, you know, murdering people, you know, this massive storming, you know, trying to get to the court system and, you know, killing the district attorney and whatever. Joe, when it's all over, just casually walking out down the stairs, you know, past all the police. And I'm like, how is someone not shooting him in the head?
Yeah.
Is he just walking off casually in the credits? And I'm like, he's literally dressed exactly like all of these people who have just stormed and shot up a bunch of people in the court. How is someone not shooting you? But no, just casually walks out. It's almost like the ending into First Blood, isn't it? You know, waiting for the long road, or whatever that song is at the end. But yeah, it cracked me up at the end there, just who's walking off as well.
It's brilliant, because the credits come up, don't they? TV show style. I love it.
Yeah.
Fucking Bozzy's there. But Dave, I'm so pleased we've covered this. That was such good fun. Should we get into the scores?
Let's go.
So, Dave, I'm glad, you know, it's 91. It's that sweet spot more than anything. Chris was 13 years old. And like I say, probably mid-90s before I caught this. But I just think this is a ridiculous movie. But I absolutely loved it. It's just nonsense. It's stupid. The boss is basically the Terminator. They've stolen every fucking bit of good that was in some of the greatest action movies and made them probably worse, Dave. But it seems to work. We've even got the A-Team fucking stunts there. Dark Angel's the best film I've seen recently for the amount of stunts and explosions. Yeah. But this is not far behind it. So I'll watch this again. Without a doubt, I'll watch it again. It is actually on YouTube, because I had a problem finding it. The whole movie's on YouTube as well. So you can watch it. You can speed it up if you don't like it, but it's well worth it for an hour and a half. 90 minutes of glorious action, testosterone bullshit, Dave. So I'm going to put this in Hill Valley, Dave, but at the top It's not a Pleasantville, but it's a hill valley all day long, and it's an enjoyable hill valley for me. So what about yourself?
Well, Chris, you know, you've picked some shockers over the years, but occasionally you'll just, in a blindfolded way, throw a javelin at the dartboard and just somehow hit the bullseye. I mean, Cage is another one that springs to mind with Lou Ferrigno. That's just way better than just for us. I mean, objectively, this movie is not good, and it probably deserves its kind of box office rating, because I think for most people, it's not a good movie. And if you're a, you know, stickler for story and logic, you know, this definitely isn't for you. But for just nonsense action, you know, B movie stuff, I think this is a real gem. I think The Boz is, actually, he's got star quality, and I'm almost a bit surprised that he didn't appear in more of these action movies. But maybe he has, and maybe we've not heard of them as well, and so we might have to do a little bit of digging there. But yeah, I thought the worst things are the story, I think, you know. But like I say, just feed it into an AI machine today, and out would pop this script. It's also, didn't mention, but, you know, this is your proper macho movie, isn't it? It's definitely not one for women's lib, you know. They kind of, the female characters are just, may as well not be there. They there's nothing to them at all. But yeah, I thought the stunts were great. Some of them a little bit A-team, but it looks great. You know, it looks like it's got money behind it. And like I say, I think the action was okay. I think Lance Henriksen as the baddie, I can't get over him being Bishop. You know, I don't really see him as that imposing biker, but, you know, he was throwing everything into it. He was going full Tommy Lee Jones in Under Siege. So, yeah, definitely if you're a fan of action movies, and especially, you know, those kind of 80s and 90s, straight to VHS type action movies, I think this is up there, to be honest. So it's a hill valley for me as well. Did deliberate about a Pleasantville, but yeah, just because objectively it's not a great movie, but definitely if you're a fan of action movies and you haven't watched this one, definitely go and watch it.
Dave, I've done it. I've actually got one that you've gone for. Brilliant. I think you're right, though. I literally was just throwing anything at the wall, hoping it would stick, Dave. So that wasn't intentional. But no, honestly, I'm so pleased that you enjoyed it. And it's just something stupidly different and pure action nonsense. So, Dave, it's your pick. Now, bear in mind, last time you fucking had me, after I did Die with a Vengeance, you stitched me right up with that fucking, whatever it was, the fucking guy who had a lob on all the way through the movie. And
skin deep,
everything. What are you going to pick this week? Because I don't know what you're picking, Dave.
Chris, you know, as part of our other podcast, CD Reality Cast, we are covering Traitors, and what a marvelous game it is. You know, if you've not seen it, kind of think a bit of Cluedo, but, you know, Cluedo's crossed with reality TV, and so, you know, there's a lot of game playing going on. And there was a specific moment that came up where I was just thinking, oh my God, this is Kaiser Soze, you know. And we've discussed it, I'm pretty sure, on this podcast that I think we both only watched this movie once, because it's one of those where, you know, another one is like Sixth Sense, isn't it? Where you're like, holy shit, right at the end of the movie there. And so I thought, you know what? It's time. It is time to go back and watch The Usual Suspects, Chris. Now let's get into the trailer.
I'm really pleased. It's a one and done movie, yeah. Dave. I own this on video. I bought this from Britannia, Dave. It's such a good movie. But
usually, like Sixth Sense,
went to cinema for Sixth Sense.
There is a motive.
And I was like, holy shit.
27 men died.
But once
deal.
You know,
so it looks to be 91
that was it. So I want to see if it still holds up. I thought this was
usually,
a perfect movie.
Usually, when there is a lineup, there's only one real suspect.
This whole thing was a shakedown. And there's no way they'd line five felons in the same room.
But this is not the usual crime. This is not the usual motive.
He was in the harbor killing many men.
Kaiser Soze!
He saw Kaiser Soze.
And these are not the usual suspects. Keaton.
I'm a businessman.
I mean, what a cast.
Unbelievable.
Hockney.
What, you got a team of monkeys working around the clock on this?
Fenster.
Flippia. One of the most iconic VHS covers as well.
People say I talk too much.
Definitely.
He doesn't know what you want to know.
I don't think he does. Not exactly. But there's a lot more to his story, believe me.
In a world where nothing is what it seems.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world.
I know he's here.
He didn't exist.
It's a great
line. You've got to look beyond. The usual suspects.
So much iconic, but I want to go back and see. Even though in the end, does it spoil it? Or, you know, do you still get enjoyment from it?
He does not expect all of you to live.
I don't remember a lot of this. They've not watched it. I remember it being perfect.
Yeah.
It was Kaiser Soze, Agent Green. I mean, the devil himself.
I'm telling you, it's Kaiser Soze!
There is no Kaiser Soze.
Keaton always said, I don't believe in God. But I'm afraid of him. Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
What a movie.
I tell you what, I'm getting quite excited about it.
Now. I am.
Like yourself, I don't really remember much. It's just the ending. I mean, we all remember the... I'm not going to spoil it now, just in case someone hasn't watched it. But you know, it's the ending where you're just like, "Holy shit!"
Yes, honestly,
you know, and it changes everything that you've just seen. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
And this goes in the two movies that I went in watching ever, and at the end was just like, "Holy fucking shit!" And the other one, as I said, and I do want to do that at some point, is The Sixth Sense, because we went to the cinema not knowing what this was about, knowing there was good reviews, and then the ending, I was like, "Oh my god, I did not even see it." But whereas I don't know whether now, because you know it, that's why I always say they're the sort of movies, once you've watched them once, I don't think you can go back. Whereas some shit like Stone Cold, I could watch that all day long, but it's stupid, isn't it? This is such a better film, but I cannot wait for next week, mate. I think you've picked an absolute classic there. It's going to be really good.
I'd love to know what other people think as well, because I'm the same. I bought it on video. Chris, I don't even think I unwrapped it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd watched it, I'd rented it, but, you know, once you've seen it, so I loved it enough to buy the VHS, but I don't think I unwrapped it and think ended up just chucking it out.
Me too.
Probably. I can't remember. So it's just, yeah, it's bonkers, isn't it? You know, it's not a really good. It is a great movie, or at least that's what my memory tells me, but it's not really a great movie making strategy if it's just a one and done.
Yeah,
you kind of want people to watch it again and again, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's one of them ones this time. You're going to analyze every conversation, every little breadcrumb. It might make more sense, but I remember just being blown away. You know, it's one of the movies that spread like wildfire. You've just got to watch it for the twist, and it's worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you haven't seen it, I know it's an old film, it's 26 years old now, but what a movie. Great pick, mate. Honestly, really, really good pick, Dave. Oh, it's not 25. It's 30 years old. 29 years old, 1995, yeah. I think it's 98, bloody hell.
29 years, God, yeah. In my head, it's more like 20.
I was going to say, yeah. I think it's less than that. But anyway, massive thank you to everyone this week. I hope you enjoyed Stone Cold and the talk and that. And like I said, the hotline is open if you need to chat, guys. I'll set the top of the show. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @VHSStrikesBack. If you do get time, please get onto your podcast catching app and drop us a review on the show, please. We love reading them out, good or bad. It's so much fun. So we're really good. I did see, Dave, that our No Retreat, No Surrender 3 watch along is now back on YouTube. I've sorted out the algorithms, Dave. We've not been copyright strike, which is brilliant, so we've got permission. It's up there, and the views have gone up. We've hit 20,000 views on that movie, Dave, which is amazing.
Wow.
But the latest comment from one of our one of the viewers was, "You talk too much." I'm like, I don't know what to say. We do say it's in the watch along. Yeah, in our watch along. We actually say it at the start, and we talk too much. So I don't know if it's a compliment or not. Well, thank you anyway if you're watching it. But yeah, there is No Retreat, No Surrender 1, No Retreat, No Surrender 3. They are readily back available with our watch alongs on the channel. And there's a few on the VHS Strikes Back YouTube channel. So get over there, guys. 20,000, Dave. He's unbelievable. I don't think he's going to hit the heady heights of the Comics in Motion
Losers,
which is a 2-hour podcast, but people from the South American region of the world seem to think that that is a bootleg version of the movie, and we got that much abuse in sort of Spanish that we had to turn the comments off, and we're at like 250,000 views for that one, Dave, so thank you very much for all that. But there you go. Absolutely crazy, isn't it? But anyway, if you do want support us, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback and come and give us a support. We really appreciate it. So the roll call of honour for today, Dave, and a massive thank you to Mr. Mike Burton, Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Ken, Lucky Lulu Green, Herbs, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. Amazing stuff. And yeah, if you can give us a sub over on YouTube, you know, we do put the odd thing up there. And there's a few of our jokey ones as well, Dave, which is good fun.
Very good, sir. Very good. So, Chris, there were, I wouldn't say there were fantastic lines in this, but apparently Lance Henriksen wrote all of his own lines. And it kind of makes sense to me because they're like almost good one-liners, but they're certainly nowhere near Arnie good one-liners. But again, one of the bits of the movie that jumped out at me was just the ridiculousness of, you know, Joe going up and trying to make friends with the head of this gang and like everyone else being suspicious. But Chains is not bothered at all. And he says, "This is either going to be the biggest pork chop I ever ate or my bulldozer." Fucking nonsense. Right. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing. Come on.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool.
Yeah,
maybe you're stupid.
You
ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months. Oh,
I must break you.